We'll be looking in Luke, the 23rd chapter, verses 33 through 46. That's a lot of verses, but this is a very, very, very important passage. And so this morning, if you'll turn with me or follow along on the screen. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Let's look in Luke chapter 23, verses 33. Starting there. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of the Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly," get this, "I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise." Emphasis on today. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour, and then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple, about this thick, was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Having said this, he gave up the ghost. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Yeah, that's Good Friday. Did you see anything good about this Friday? And Good Friday is a problem. First, there is a name. We call it good, and no one called it good then. And then there's what happened. They killed Jesus. Everything on Palm Sunday, this is actually Palm Sunday today. Everything on Palm Sunday looked so different. The crowds cheered. Even Monday and Tuesday was different from Friday. You see, Jesus took charge. Monday and Tuesday, he took charge. He cleared the temple. He confounded his adversaries, the Pharisees. Even the events of Wednesday and Thursday had their share of good times and warm feelings. Jesus and his church family even had a family dinner. Good family Passover dinner. Yeah, but everything changed on Friday. Good Friday is a problem. And the big problem of Good Friday is the cross. Many people like the teachings of Jesus. They like his teachings. And why wouldn't they? Have you read the teachings of Jesus? They're pretty awesome. Listen, if you were just to be a Christian for no other reason, it is to follow the teachings of Jesus about how to live. Society would be so much better if just people followed the teachings of Jesus. His miracles attracted and astounded people all over the place. Everyone liked the stories of his good deeds and his loving example. And that's part of the Christian message. But it's not the heart of the Christian message. We preach Christ and Him crucified. The Bible declares we glory in the cross. Good Friday is the day of the cross. You see, Friday was a day of betrayal. It starts out with betrayal. And as much as we wish otherwise, we can't have Holy Week without Good Friday. Unless you struggle with the problem of Good Friday, you won't appreciate the victory of Easter Sunday. Friday was a very long day. It started the night before. One event led nonstop to the other. And after the meal in the upper room, Jesus and His disciples went to a secluded spot on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus prayed late into the night. His disciples tried to join Him, but the late hour and the hectic schedule took them over. And you know what they did while Jesus was praying? They fell asleep. Suddenly in the middle of the night, probably in the wee hours of the morning, the disciples awoke to shouts and the clanging of swords and shields. And at first they probably thought it was a dream or a nightmare, but it wasn't. The next few hours was a whirl of activity. The soldiers arrested Jesus. They hauled Him before the Jewish high priest, before the sun up. A meeting was called of the Jewish council. They interrogated Him. Witnesses said that they had heard Jesus blaspheme the name of God. In fact, they said He threatened to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. He could have done that, but that wasn't what He was talking about. All the charges, though, were false. In fact, witnesses had been paid to offer their testimony. And all that was beside the point, because the whole morning the secret trial was illegal from the very beginning. But Jesus never protested. He didn't strike back. He didn't talk back. Isaiah tells us, like a lamb before the shearer and the sheep before the slaughter. He didn't say a word. And there was nothing good about the way Good Friday started. I bet you've had days like that. When you woke up on the wrong side of the bed and you said, this is not going to be a good day. Well, you pretty much told yourself what was going to happen, didn't you? Everything seems to go wrong. The whole world seems out to get you. You've been lied about. Maybe it was at work, maybe it was even at home. And you get blamed for the fact that you tried to do what was right and it doesn't even seem to matter. Somebody still accused you. And when you're falsely accused of something, I know how I react. Right? When you're falsely accused, and what they're saying is not right, it's not true, I'm going to explain. I'm going to tell them it's not true. But sometimes you just got to take it. You weren't allowed to explain. You're going to face days like that. I want you to remember, when you have days like that, you were not the first to have that kind of a day. Remember Jesus and Good Friday. As Peter would announce later, that men disowned Him, men killed Him, but God raised Him from the dead. It's Friday. But we always got to remember that Sunday's coming. And on your worst days, cannot even compare to the day that Jesus was having. And you got to understand something. That on your worst day, Sunday is coming.
Amen.
And the worst part of Good Friday, for Jesus, wasn't what His adversaries did. It wasn't what the Jewish officials did. The Roman soldiers did. You know that they're your enemy. And so you kind of expect it. You can handle it. But Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane because of a friend. One of his own had betrayed him. And for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, Judas turned against him. He stepped out of the crowd, walked up to Jesus, kissed him on the cheek as a way of a greeting. That very act of friendship turned into an act of treachery. How cynical can you get? How terrible can you be? Then the other friends, the ones behind Jesus, they turned tail and ran, leaving Jesus alone. Even Peter, he had pledged his undying devotion to Jesus hours before, would a little later on repeatedly three times deny that he even knew Jesus. On Friday, Jesus stood alone. He was falsely accused. He was betrayed. And he was abandoned. Maybe that's what's happened to you at times in your life. And you felt that way. Maybe you found out all the nice and warm words of your friends were nothing but a cynical attempt to get you on your good side. To get on your good... I'll never forget receiving a dinner invitation. Actually, it's happened a couple of times. An invitation. Hey, can we get together with some friends? And we get together. And next thing I know that they're presenting Amway to me. Yeah. Yeah, we've been. Sounds like y'all had that happen too. And I got to admit, I've done it to a few people too. I tried not to. So, that's nothing compared to the real betrayal and the real abandonment that Jesus felt. You know how much it hurts to have a friend turn on you. Maybe it was nothing more than refusing to help when you needed it. Maybe it was worse. Maybe you found out that the gossip and the rumors came from the lips of someone that you trusted. Betrayal hurts. And when that happens, think of Jesus and think of Good Friday. Remember, at these times in your life when you're hurt the worst by people that you care and love, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. You need to remember that. Friday was not only a day of betrayal, but it was a day of suffering. By sunrise on Jesus' last day, the pace kind of quickened. The betrayal, the phony trial, the false accusations, it soon turned physical. Soldiers mocked him. They roughed him up for sport. They make a makeshift crown of thorns. You've seen the long thorns, and they actually just crammed it on his head. The blood flows down his robe and his brow. They laugh at him. They parade him to Pilate's palace in a purple robe, and they say, "Some king you are." And they taunt him. And they didn't stop with just words that Friday morning. Pilate knew the charges were trumped up. He knew that there's nothing they could legitimately charging with. But to satisfy the officials, he orders his soldiers to beat Jesus. You see, they thought if they beat him just enough that the people wouldn't want to kill him. That, see, I've punished him. He doesn't have to go to die. But the soldiers took the Roman cat of nine tails, which was a long leather whip, and the multiple ends were embedded with nails or pieces of bone and glass, and 39 times the soldiers laid into the back of Jesus with that whip. Don't really want to get too graphic, but can you imagine what they did to flesh? Pain was unimaginable. And it probably seemed like it would never end. But it was Friday. Sunday's coming. when the beating stopped, the real bad stuff started. Crucifying, the crowds cried. The fickle crowd even chose Barabbas. He was a murderer and a thief over Jesus. Now, most of you have heard the story often enough to know that the crucifixion was not a pretty picture. The pictures we see in our Sunday schools for our kids are not the way it really was. I want you to remember the furor a while back, a few years ago, that greeted Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. Y'all see that movie? Cried like a baby. It was the most graphic and intense thing I've ever seen. And I'm going, and it wasn't gratuitous. You know why it wasn't gratuitous? Because he probably didn't go far enough in about how they treated him and the way they beat him. The cruelty that any one person could do to another, more or less the Son of the Almighty God, coming to die for our sins, and they were beating him. Most people didn't understand the reality. Crucifixion wasn't just execution. It was public torture. At 9 o'clock that Friday morning, the soldiers red-eagled Jesus against a pole. They tied him to the wood, and they drove iron spikes through his hands and his feet. They lifted the beam, and they dropped it into a hole. And for 6 hours, 6 long, hot hours, Jesus hung there, suspended between the heaven and the earth, dying minute by minute, hour by hour. And at his feet, soldiers continued the taunts. The crowds jeered, not cheered, jeered. His mother and friends, they just stood back in horror. Their hearts were broken. And at noon on Friday, the sky over Jerusalem turned strangely dark, and the earth shook. A thief on the cross, on the next cross, cried out, "Remember me when you come to your throne, to your kingdom." Soldiers offered Jesus a drink mixed with a painkiller, and he declines it. And then Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And on that Friday, for the first time in his life, Jesus experienced separation from his heavenly Father. He knew that he was separated. No one else knew. This execution may have been at the hands of wicked men, but it was according to the plan of heaven. He was innocent. No one else was. Neither were we. You see, he gave his life for us. No man took it. He could have called legions of angels. He could have just left, said, "Forget this. I don't need these people, are not worthy. After what they've done to me, they want me to save them?" No. But that's not what he did. It was not for his sins that he was on the cross. It was for ours, yours and mine. Ultimately, it was not the Roman soldiers or the conniving politicians who crucified Jesus. Actually, when Mel Gibson filmed the last 12 hours of Jesus' life in the Passion of the Christ, he wanted that message to come through that, you know, Roman soldiers didn't kill him. Gibson said he wanted viewers to know that we are all responsible for Christ's death. So Gibson, who's a veteran, y'all know Mel Gibson, he's a veteran Hollywood star. As director and producer, he could have given himself a part in the film himself, but he didn't show up. His face never appears on the screen. But you know what part of him does? It was his hands. He was the one that had the hammer. Oh, you just saw the hammer in his hands, but that was Mel Gibson's hands. Nailing Jesus to the cross. The Bible explains it this way. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, and so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You do understand that, don't you? Some folks don't. They don't understand that he died for us so that we could be like him. Evangelist D.M. Stearns was preaching in Philadelphia, and at the close of the service, a stranger came up to him and said, "I don't like the way you spoke about the cross. I think instead of emphasizing the death of Christ, it would be far better to preach Jesus to teach your example. Just preach Jesus. Don't talk about the cross and his death." And Stearns replied, "If I presented Christ in that way, would you be willing to follow him?" "Well, I certainly would," said the stranger. "All right then," said the preacher. "Let's take the first step. He did no sin. Can you claim that for yourself?" And he says, "Of course not. I'm not perfect. I never said I was." And Stearns replied, "Then your greatest need is to have a Savior, not an example." We don't. Jesus Christ died and did something that we could never do. He died for our sins because he knew no sin. His righteousness is now ours because of what he did. Friday was also a day of death. Sometimes crucifixions could last for days. And not on this Friday. 3:00, Jesus declares it's finished. And he breathed his last breath. The soldiers remove his body. Friends actually carry him away to a borrowed tomb. They just hurriedly wrap his body up because it's Friday and the Sabbath is Saturday. And so, you know, they have to get him in and do that before the Sabbath. They intended to finish the proper burial once the Sabbath was over. You know, officials seal the entrance and they post a guard. They didn't want any trouble. It was Friday. It had been a bad day already. Friday ended in death. The disciples, they were distraught, dejected, grief-stricken. And anyone who has buried a loved one or a friend knows that feeling. You stand at their grave. Time seems to just be still. And it all seems like a bad dream. And you pray that you're going to wake up and just and find everything back the way it was before. Death and grave cast a shadow over everything. We've all been there, haven't we? Those times when you say, "If I could just turn back time and make everything the way it was." Can you imagine that's how the disciples felt? "Oh, if we could have just done something different, we could have kept this. Everything was going so great, and then tragedy happens, and he's gone." You know what? That's a good time to think of Good Friday. It really is a good time to think of Good Friday. Remember, Jesus was there. It was Friday. But Sunday is coming. In those moments of the grief and the terribleness of what we suffer through as human beings, knowing the passing of others, we can stand and understand that this is Friday. That this has been the most terrible day of my life. But understand that one day, that Sunday, is coming and everything is going to be just right. We call it Good Friday. We call it that because Sunday came. And if Sunday hadn't come, there would have been nothing good about that Friday. Good Friday is good in the fact that Jesus had to die in order to be resurrected. Jesus had to die, take our sins upon Him, and die with those sins so Sunday could come and be resurrected again anew. You know what I'm talking about? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what he did for us so that we could live without the sin of this world. A man was walking down the street one day when he stopped to look at a store window containing a Good Friday display. And a beautiful painting of the crucifixion was held in the center of that window. And the man wasn't particularly religious, but he was spellbound by the painting. He suddenly became aware of a young boy at his side, and he could tell by the expression that of the kid that he was too was gripped by the painting. So he's touching the boy on the shoulder, and the man says, "Hey, son, what does that mean?" "Well, we looked at him, don't you know?" And his face was kind of, "You really don't know?" Marvel at his ignorance. "That there man is Jesus, and them others is Roman soldiers, and that woman that's crying is his mom." And he added, "They killed him." The man had other things he had to do, so he turned up and walked away. And part of the way down the block, he heard the footsteps on the streets running up behind him. He said, "It was a boy. It was that boy." And he was out of breath. And he says, "Hey, mister, I forgot to tell you something else. He rose again. It may be Friday. In your life, but Sunday's coming. If you're a saved child of God who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who's accepted that gift of everlasting salvation that was bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary, if you've accepted Him as Savior, then guess what? There is Sunday coming."
Amen.
Don't let this world fool you into believing that this is all there is and it's always going to be Friday. No, there'll be a day when that same Jesus who rose from the grave on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, that same Jesus will stand or kneel or bow, however we approach Jesus, we will see Him in the flesh.
Amen.
In Revelation, he says, "I saw the Lamb as He was slain, walking across in His vision." He saw that same Jesus in heaven tearing open the scroll. Who's worthy? He is. We will see that same Jesus one day. None of this other stuff here in this world really matters then, does it? I mean, we got to put it in perspective. When we're having a Good Friday type of day, we got to remember that this is just a day. But Sunday is coming, and it'll last for an eternity. I hope and pray this morning that you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. I'm hoping that you've experienced Sunday. You may be going so that when you go through the terrible days of this life and you think that all hope is lost, you can understand that we can look forward to that day. That Sunday's coming. Did it really matter all that He went through on Friday when He overcame the grave on Sunday? All that we go through in this life, does it really matter when we understand that when we leave this life, we'll be just like that thief on the cross today. Today, thou shalt be with me. I don't care where it's at, paradise, whatever you want to call it. Today, you will be with me. That's Sunday. And it's coming. And we can thank God for Good Friday. Because Sunday would have never came if He had never went to the cross. As we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your name. I just hope and pray. I just hope and pray that each one in this building today, each one knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've accepted His free gift of everlasting salvation, the gift that can only be given simply because of what He did at the cross, taking our sins upon Him and dying with Him. So if you haven't, I'm asking today, would you listen to the Spirit dealing with your heart today? I don't know how you could go through this message this morning and not have the Spirit talking to you if you're a lost person. And if you're a saved child of God, I don't know how you could go through this message, this passage, and have it not understand what a terrible day you had, but what an awesome Sunday it was. And how we can take our trials and tribulations for our lives and put it in that perspective and understand no matter how bad a day we've had, Jesus had the worst. And look what happened. His Sunday came, and our Sunday will come too. So as we sing this morning, would you give Him your heart and your life? Will you make Him King of your life? Put Him as Lord of your life. So as we sing.
Number 529. 529.